Remember this from Mom and Dad? Good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. And so we ask what we always wanted to ask laying there in the dark. Gee, Mom. Gee, Dad. How do we don't let the bed bugs bite?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 701st edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Giza Village who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What, with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Good morning.
Nikki, what's eating you today?
Well, I do have some bed bug bites, to be honest.
Okay, folks, sometimes the big eat the small, and other times the small eat the big. Today, we're going to talk about the small bed bugs that are eating away through our big cities. Well, at least they are eating away at those who sleep in our big cities. How big a deal are these small critters? In a recent survey of U.S. pest management professionals, 95% said they had encountered infestations of bed bugs, whereas a decade ago, only 25% had encountered them. The five most infested cities in the U.S. are said to be New York, Philadelphia, Detroit, Cincinnati, and Chicago. But as bed bugs are inveterate travelers, we can all be certain the freckle-sized monsters will soon be infesting our city. And so today we pause to ask, how do we don't let the bed bugs bite? Here to help us search for an answer, we have Dr. Susan Jones, who is an entomologist at Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. Dr. Jones, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you, Michael.
Entomologist, for people who don't know, is a what?
It's an individual who studies insects.
Uh-huh. And your favorite insect to study?
It's not bed bugs.
I wouldn't think so.
However, I'm studying because it's a necessity.
Mm-hmm. And it hasn't been a necessity for a long time. Why is it a necessity?
Well, bed bugs have resurged in the United States, and back in the 1940s, 1930s, people lived with bed bugs. They were a common, everyday occurrence. Mm-hmm. And with the advent of DDT and other very long-lasting, powerful insecticides, it caused a decline, almost elimination, in the United States of bed bugs. But in many countries, particularly developing countries, the bed bugs were never eradicated, and they developed resistance to insecticides, even to DDT.
Wow.
And the populations in the United States were also resistant to DDT, even by 1950s. So this is an insect that readily develops resistance to the types of insecticides that you're throwing at it, trying to control it. But starting in the late 1990s, early 2000, we started hearing that bed bugs were making a comeback. And now they're a big, big problem in small communities, large cities throughout the United States.
So, I'm a baby boomer, born after World War II. And, I just remember that nursery rhyme from the parents tucking me into bed. Good night, sleep tight, don't let the bed bugs bite. But I can't recall ever having been bitten by a bed bug, and so often wondered where that came from. So but what you were saying, that the parents probably endured them.
That's right.
Pre-World War II and World War II, they were just endemic then, correct?
That's correct. Everybody lived with bed bugs, but they recognized what they were, and they didn't necessarily use the safest techniques to deal with bed bugs back then. I mean, using things like kerosene.
Wait a minute, kerosene?
Yeah, things that we would think would be crazy today to use were commonly used at the turn of the century. And so I want to think that we're more educated now and recognize some of the health impacts of using products like that. But part of the issue with bed bugs now is people think this is a nursery rhyme. There's no fact associated with bed bugs, and that could be further from the truth, mm-hmm. because these are a real insect. They prefer to feed on humans, and the only thing they feed on is blood.
Wow. They could be like politicians. Just kidding. But it's true. In searching, and I'm fairly astute at paying attention to things go by, being a host of a radio show called The Food Chain and What's Eating What Radio, I kind of watch out for things. But I did not even think bed bugs were real until fairly recently when I started reading accounts of these massive infestations, particularly in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And in New York City, they're not, you see them mentioned as being something that happens in hotels, but now you see them being mentioned in places like Lincoln Center.
Yes. And what happens is these bed bugs have a very rapid life cycle, meaning they go from egg to the adult, the reproducing stage, rather quickly. And they're a very long-lived insect. They're able to live in the adult stage for a year to a year and a half, which is very long period of time for most insects. But once they become entrenched in a community, they are hitchhikers, and so they will be brought with people as they visit various sites. And so, an early in a community where bed bugs have just started to take hold, you won't see them reaching into movie theaters, into various locales. But as the population is firmly entrenched in that community and you've got huge reservoirs, then you have people moving the bed bugs with them. And so it's, to be expected.
So they become like the Typhoid Mary of bedbugs.
Yeah, they're hitchhikers, and they are like a disease. They're like a contagious disease because they can tuck away in your items. They like to travel, say, in your luggage, briefcase, purse, backpack. And so we hear of children bringing them to schools because their home is infested, and the bugs like hiding places that are made of cloth, of paper, of wood. Those type of substrates are the things that the bed bugs feel comfortable hiding in. And so they will be moved from an infested residence to, say, the school or to the movie theater or to the store, all of these different places, just because of the behavior of this insect. It wants to hide in a quiet place that has these features. And substances of paper and wood and fabric are everywhere in our living places.
They sound like monsters.
they're little blood suckers.
Yeah. They're little blood sucking monsters, and they're kind of frightening when you think about it. But no, they're not frightening. Why is it there the dichotomy? Whereas some people look at them and say they're not frightening, they're just a nuisance, and some people look at them and say they're frightening.
Well, people have a different reaction to the bite, and it's an individual reaction, but about 70% of people do react to the bed bug bite, and so they will have varying levels of itching, of swelling, of welts, that sort of thing. And so in a household, the husband may not have any reaction, but the wife will have itching and welts.
So some people really are driven nuts by them. Other people are not affected by them.
Yeah, some people don't even know they have a bed bug infestation because they don't react to the bite. But University of Kentucky did a study and found that 7 out of 10 people, on average, have a reaction. This varies with age to some extent, so that our elderly don't have, on average, as much as an allergic reaction, and very, very young children may not have this reaction. So we see huge problems in our elderly housing because people are by themselves. They may not be reacting. Their eyesight may not be very acute, and the bed bugs grow to huge populations before somebody notices.
And Nikki James, our engineer, notices that she has the bumps, and so she must be one of those people who react to them. We're going to take a quick break, but when we get back, I'd like to talk to you as an entomologist about exactly what these little critters are and the amazing life that they lead and how incredibly intractable they can become once they have established themselves in our homes.
Okay.
This is the Food Chain, Michael Olson. We have Dr. Susan Jones, who is an entomologist with the Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. And today we're talking bed bugs. They're infesting all of our big cities, and they are coming to our city, too, because they love us, just like politicians. We will be right back. Do stay tuned.
Get this. The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. MetroFarm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. MetroFarm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. MetroFarm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of MetroFarm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Well, folks, they're here, they're there, they're everywhere. They're bed bugs, and they're coming to a bed near you. Maybe even your bed. Who knows? How do we know? What are these things called bed bugs? Don't think I've ever recalled being around them, but how would I know if I don't react to them? Here today to tell us all about bed bugs, we have Dr. Susan Jones, who's an entomologist with Ohio State University. You know, we've been reading a lot about the infestations of bed bugs in New York City, but they really are everywhere, aren't they, Doctor?
Yes. We were in San Diego a couple of years ago for a entomology conference, and the hotel we were staying in had bed bugs.
How could you tell? Did you have your like magnifying glass out when you're?
You don't need a magnifying glass. These insects can be seen with the naked eye, although they do tend to hide. Mm-hmm. An adult bed bug is about the size and color of an apple seed. So if you visualize a kind of a mahogany brown round-shaped object, that's what an adult bed bug looks like. The immature stages are obviously smaller than that adult, but they can still be seen with the naked eye. You just have to know what you're looking for. And these insects tend to hide, but one thing that they don't hide are their fecal spots. So where they poop, you can see little black smears, little black spots. And this is partially digested blood. It's passed through the body of the bed bug, and it's liquid. So when it dries in place, it is pretty much a permanent fixture.
We're going to come back to this a little bit later, and I want to hear about how you discovered the bed bugs in your hotel and what you did about them. But first, I'd like to focus a little bit on the bed bug itself and go back to that. Bed bugs are bloodsuckers. Like mosquitoes, right?
They are. They're actually a more primitive insect, say, than a mosquito. They're related to stink bugs, to chinch bugs that would occur in your lawn. They do have a beak-like mouth part, though. And this tube, basically this little probe that they stick into you, is used to suck blood. And they don't stay attached to your body like a tick does. Rather, within a matter of 2 to say 10 or 12 minutes, they detach. They have taken the amount of blood that they can feed on, and then they go hide in some secluded place so they can digest that blood meal. And they're solitary insects, meaning they aren't part of a social system like bees and like
so they don't have colonies. It's probably harder to find them if they don't hang around in colonies then, right?
Well, they don't have a colony structure, but they do hang around together. So you will find immatures and you'll find adults that will congregate in the same areas, and then individuals will go off by themselves, or you know, they will be seeking a host by themselves.
So they're nocturnal.
They are typically nocturnal. They would prefer to feed at nighttime, and they're usually feeding 2, 3, 4 in the morning when you're sound asleep. But I've been in heavy infestations, and I've seen them active during the day. They will feed during the day if they have a large population and if a host is readily available. But their preferred, their normal behavior is to feed at nighttime.
And the bites are painless? You don't feel them?
You feel a tiny pinprick in some cases. Other cases, you don't feel anything at all. I have unfortunately been bitten by bed bugs as I'm handling them, working with them. And usually with an adult or an older nymph bites me, it feels like a tiny, tiny little pinprick. But if I was sleeping, there would be no way that this little sensation would wake me up. And then ones that have just emerged from the egg are about a millimeter in length, and I cannot even feel whenever those put their mouth parts in.
So here we have a freckle-sized monster that hides deep in nooks and crannies, and when we fall asleep into our deep sleep, an REM sleep, they sneak out and eat us.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, is there any indication that they carry diseases?
Well, that's...
I mean,
that's a very good question. And from a scientific perspective, we can't say they don't transmit disease. We can say they aren't known to transmit disease. And there's a big distinction. You know, aren't known because we haven't done sufficient research to say yes or no. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, with this insect being out of the limelight, out of the, you know, not really a big issue for so many years in the United States, and coming back at a time when we really have severe economic problems, there hasn't been research. There hasn't been research money to put into looking at the potential of these insects to transmit disease.
So they probably say, well, they're everywhere, so why bother even thinking about them? But you know, the thought of having one little tiny bug creep out in the middle of the night and take a chomp out of you and suck some blood out of you and then go away and hide is one thing. But you know, if an infestation, you know, goes unchallenged and grows into a well population of these critters, and you know, it just doesn't sound like any fun when it gets down to it.
No, and what happens is you can literally have hundreds of these insects feeding on you every night. You know, populations get into the thousands, and if you're in multifamily housing, those bugs spread from one infested unit to another, and so your problem doesn't stay your problem. It becomes your neighbor's problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so this very much has to be taken as a very concerted effort, not just dealing with one infested unit, but checking any unit that has a common wall with that infested unit, because there's a potential the bugs will have moved between the walls to get to adjacent units. And then when populations become really, really large, the bugs are literally traveling down the hallways and spreading, just all over the place.
Well, let's take a quick question before we go to our break. Pure Heart, welcome to the Food Chain.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Dr. Jones.
Hi.
I forgot the name right. But
yes, Dr. Susan Jones.
I'm sure everybody is eager for you to skip to eradication and control.
We're headed there. We're headed there.
For example, there must be some, like, there's some sort of predator, either fungal or a small.
That's a great question.
Other predators and or control mechanisms like eucalyptus leaves or bay leaves or whatever people used to use.
Kerosene.
I love kerosene. Okay,
love
thank you very much.
Kerosene in the morning.
But I'm just getting the creepy crawly just thinking about it, but I understand it's part of life. I've seen them in Switzerland even.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Many countries throughout the world are experiencing this resurgence. But as far as natural predators go.
I'll hang it for listen. Thank you.
Okay, good. Well, let's pick up natural predators. Do they have,
things like that are going to feed them are going to be spiders. How many people want to have huge spider populations in their household? I don't know of many. So they don't have a lot of natural enemies.
So we get rid of the spiders, of course.
Yeah, but the spiders would have to have a huge population in order to keep the bed bugs under control. Your cat may play with a few bed bugs that are out in the open and kill them, but that cat isn't going to keep the population under control because most of them are going to be hiding in places that they would never be able to reach. So they really don't have a natural predator.
So they're here, they're there, they're everywhere. And there's not much we can do about them, or at least we haven't learned that yet. But maybe we will if we stick with the Food Chain and Dr. Susan Jones, who is a bug gal, an entomologist from Ohio State University. Today we're talking about bed bugs. Remember what your folks said? Good night, sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. So how do we don't let the bed bugs bite? That's the question on the table today. And if you have questions, pick up your phone and join us. We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, right back. Welcome back, folks. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking about bed bugs. You remember what the folks used to say when they were tucking you into bed? Good night, sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite. Well, the bed bugs are biting. They're back. So we're asking why they're back, I guess, with Dr. Susan Jones, who is an entomologist from the Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. Dr. Jones, how do they manage to sneak back so stealthily and all of a sudden become a major issue?
Well, a lot of things have gone on that have led to the resurgence of bed bugs. For one thing, we have a lot more international travel and commerce than we ever did. And so the bugs will hide, say, in luggage and will be moved from one place to another. But another big factor is that the pesticides that we use currently in the United States have really changed over the years. And so we no longer have a number of the insecticide classes that we had years ago. Furthermore, bed bugs have developed resistance to the largest class of insecticides, which are the pyrethroids. And so they no longer are impacted to a great extent due to insecticide resistance. So these are some of the things. There's just not one factor that's is responsible for them coming back.
Many different things. One of the things I've read was that they're coming in on a lot of the imported clothing from Asia.
No, that's not.
That's not true?
No, that's not true. Had that been the case, we would have seen bed bugs 2 decades ago when we were importing things from Asia. Rather, what is happening, and that is an urban myth, it's associated with the fact that they're now being seen in stores, say, like in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a reflection of what is happening in New York City itself. People, the employees who are working at those stores are bringing bed bugs with them. The customers are bringing bed bugs with them. And then stores have a policy of not laundering items that are returned. So they take return items and put it back on the floor. Well, if it came from an infested residence, the bugs could be in that return item. And so, it's really not that they are coming in. It's just a reflection of what's happening in the community.
Wow. Let's go to the phones. Folks, the phone numbers today, if you'd like to discuss bed bugs with a bed bug expert, Dr. Susan Jones, entomologist, Ohio State University, pick up your phones and join us. We're at 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Let's say hi to Vivian. Vivian, welcome to the food chain.
Hi there. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I have a question. I would like to know if you are, I'm sensitive to spider bites and what have you. So I'm thinking if I have a bug bite, a bed bug bite, would it be just like a small little freckle of a bite, or would it be large, or how can you tell if you're being bitten?
Okay, that's a really good question, and unfortunately, just looking at the bite itself, you can't say definitively, this was caused by a bed bug, this was caused by an ant sting or an ant bite. Rather, we look at certain things. Did those bites appear during the nighttime? So you woke up with new welts, little bite marks. That's one clue that maybe this is something that's happening at nighttime. Furthermore, you can look and see where on the body do these bites occur. So when a flea bites you, oftentimes it's clustered around your ankles. If you have a chigger mite, then it's often associated with very tight clothing, and so it'll be around where the sock meets your skin, or around underwear lines, very tight places. With bed bugs, it's on exposed areas. So if you sleep with a lot of clothing, then it's primarily going to be around your face, your neck, maybe your arms or your legs. If you don't sleep with a shirt on, it may be on your back. So exposed areas. And then you look at the pattern of the bite marks. The bites typically are in a group, or they're in a 1, 2, 3. We say breakfast, lunch, dinner pattern. And so this 1, 2, 3, or this grouping of bites. And then the individual response is going to be all over the place. It may look like a mosquito bite. In some cases, it's a huge welt that is the size of a 50-cent piece. So the individual reaction is going to be all over the place. But, you know, exposed areas of the skin, did it appear in the morning after a night of sleep where you never had these bites going to bed? And then you have to find evidence of the bed bugs in the living quarters or where you were sleeping.
So this is a good time for you to tell us how you discovered the bed bugs in the San Diego hotel in which you stayed recently.
Well, what I do whenever I'm traveling is I make it standard practice to check for bed bugs. Very first thing I do when I go into a hotel room. And so I pull back the bedding and I look for these black fecal spots on the mattress or on the box springs, especially along the seams.
You take all the sheets off?
No, I pull them back from each edge. I don't just, you know, take them off all the way, but I'm looking along the seams of the mattress. And then I'm picking up the mattress, looking between the mattress and the box springs. I'm also picking up the underside of the bed skirt because it rarely gets laundered. And so I'm looking along the seams. But in hotels and motels, the biggest place is that you find bed bugs is behind the bed frame. And so if you can take the bed frame off the wall, that is going to be the biggest place that these bugs hide. And actually, I didn't find the bed bugs in my room. I talked to a colleague, and they had found the bed bugs in their room.
Okay.
And so, but I have talked to numerous colleagues, and more often than not, it's the bed frame that is the culprit. But I also change my behavior in hotel rooms now, and I never put my items in the chest of drawers in that nightstand that's provided. I keep it in my suitcase, and I keep my suitcase on the luggage rack after, of course, I first inspected the luggage rack to make sure there weren't any bed bugs. And I don't put it on the carpeted floor because we know that carpeting is a place that bed bugs love to hide, particularly a carpeting that has a thick nap. They will tuck down between the strands, between the loops of the carpeting, and that offers a nice, tight hiding place for
them. Flea, yeah, flea and bed bug heaven, right?
Yes.
Vivian, do you have any follow-up?
Yes. Can you tell me if you mentioned that you would see, like, little black spots? Is that what you're looking for?
Can you hold on, Vivian? We're going to have to take a quick break.
Sure.
But we'll pick you up when we come back. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. Today we're talking with Dr. Susan Jones about bed bugs. And we're talking with you as well. All you have to do is pick up your phone and join us. We're at 800-624-2665. 831-479-1080. Subject is bed bugs. Oh, my God, they're here, they're there, they're everywhere. What are we going to do about them? Do stay tuned. We will be right back. This is The Food Chain. I am Michael Olson. Well, how do you know if you're sleeping with bed bugs? That's a question Vivian is posing to Dr. Susan Jones, entomologist, Ohio State University, right here on The Food Chain with your host, Michael Olson. Vivian, you had a follow-up.
Yeah, I was just wondering, the doctor mentioned that when you go into hotels and she's inspecting the bed and what have you, that you look for little black marks. Is that a way of telling whether they are there or not?
You're not going to like this answer. You're not going to like this answer at all.
These black spots kind of look like a bunch of black freckles that are embedded in the substrate. So they don't rub off like, say, mold or mildew. If you took a cloth and rubbed over a mold or mildew speckles, then they would smear. That's not going to happen with bed bug feces because they're initially a liquid, but they have dried in place. If you took an alcohol wipe or a wet cloth and you scrubbed at these bed bug fecal spots, you might see a reddish smear because it's partially digested blood. So, it's disgusting, but, you know, they are going to leave these telltale signs with them, and the bugs themselves move very quickly, or they can move very quickly, as fast as a cockroach, and they want
to... Are you kidding?
Oh, no, I'm not kidding. They move very fast, and so that's one reason whenever you're doing a treatment for bed bugs, you need to spray the bugs with the insecticide as soon as you see them because they're going to be scurrying off trying to find a hiding place to avoid being treated with the insecticide.
Wow. Vivian, thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Very informative.
Let's go to Marshall. Marshall, welcome to The Food Chain. Michael Olson here with Dr. Susan Jones. Go ahead.
Hey, for the next couple of weeks, I live above a used clothing store in Santa Cruz. And, I didn't have them in my room, but a guy did, and he was in my room, and I found one in my room, but that was it because it came off of him. This is pretty grim. But so I found out he does have them in his room, and I killed them for him. I threw out an old chair and threw out the box springs, washed all his clothes, and sprayed with Raid flea spray, and it killed him.
Well, the unfortunate thing is that you're going to have to make sure that you got all of the bed bugs because they aren't just associated with the bed, the mattress, and the box springs. You will find them behind the baseboards. You'll find them behind a picture on the wall. You'll find them up in the drapery pleats, underside of furniture. And it's actually not a good idea to throw away items that have bed bugs on them. They can usually be treated. And as you're moving your box springs or your mattress, the bed bugs are falling off and running and hiding and, you know, infesting other places. There's a
I know. It's been a month and there's none of them left. Just leaned the mattress against the wall, sprayed the mattress, sprayed all, everywhere, sprayed the whole place and got them. And I'm wondering, how long does it take for the eggs to hatch?
The eggs usually hatch within 6 to 17 days. So that's why typically when you have a pest management professional come in to do a treatment, they come back after a two-week period because
just like
that's
fleas,
about the time when the eggs hatch. And the egg stage is not a stage that's easily impacted by insecticides. So some insecticides that contact the egg will actually kill that developing bed bug inside the eggs, and others types of insecticides won't be able to penetrate through the egg shell. Now, I have to say that if you're using a product like the Raid flea product, you have to make sure that it says on the label that you can spray it on mattresses, because if not, it's a violation of the federal label. We have basically a pesticide label is a law. It is a legally binding document. If it says,
up against the wall, Marshall.
I'm just trying to...
Hey, the bugs or the spray, take your pick.
Thanks for the call, Marshall.
You're welcome, bye.
So, you have to read the label because it's the law.
Yes.
Let's go to Tammy. Tammy, welcome to the food chain.
Hi, thank you, Michael and Susan. I read in a magazine recently that there's a eradication method of if you can get the temperature above 102 degrees that they can't survive the larval stage. Is that true?
Well, the temperature actually has to be above 120 degrees Fahrenheit, and it has to be held at that temperature for 30 minutes, a minimum of 30 minutes at 120 degrees Fahrenheit. So putting items into your dryer, your throw pillows, bedding, that sort of thing. You can put dry items into a dryer, let them tumble around on high heat for 30 minutes, and that'll kill all stages, the eggs, the nymphs, and the adults. They have some companies that use whole heat treatment, and it's a very expensive procedure. It can't be used in certain types of units because the temperature can impact things, say the seal around the wax seal around your toilet. It's going to be melted at certain temperatures, so they have to take precautions to not harm certain items in your house. But whole heat treatments will get rid of bed bugs if you're using a person who knows what they're doing.
But
and
don't go burning down your house. That's Tammy, thanks for the call. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson, right back with Dr. Susan Jones. Do stay tuned. Well, so much to talk about and so little time to talk about it in on the Food Chain with Michael Olson and our special guest today, Dr. Susan Jones, entomologist, Ohio State University. We're talking about bed bugs and you. Gary, fire away.
Yes, hello, Dr. Jones. I have a question about these ultrasonic devices that I see advertised all the time, Ridex, Bell & Howell. Different companies claim that they don't kill bed bugs, but they cause sonic frequencies that the bed bugs don't come toward the area.
And there has not been a lot of research on bed bugs per se, but the research with all other insects shows that these don't work. You're wasting your money.
Okay, that was worth a try. They say they're guaranteed, so I guess you could try it and see what happens.
Yeah, and then when they don't work, get your money back.
There you go, Gary. Thank you very much. Let's go to Rich. Rich, welcome to the Food Chain.
Yeah, I guess the bed bugs are off the Sierra Club's endangered species list for New York anyway, huh?
I guess so.
How do they move? Do they travel like fleas do? Do they hitch a ride and move from one place to another? Or do they have a long distance they go? And what is their natural predator? I might have missed that.
You did miss it. It's spiders. Okay. Now, and of course, we get rid of the spiders. So how do they move, Doctor?
They move with, they have six little legs, and they run and they scurry. They don't jump like a flea. They don't fly, but they do run.
And they run fast, too.
Yes.
Okay, Gary.
And they also, they do hitchhike, so they hide in something that you're carrying, and you move them around that way.
Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, I spent a year in India, and my experience with bed bugs were never a single bite. They would typically, you know, go down the sheet, for example, down your torso on the sheet line and leave a series of bites.
Yes, and that's where we see this 1-2-3 pattern or this grouping.
Breakfast,
of,
lunch,
of,
and dinner.
This grouping of bites. And in some cases, a number of them are clinging to the edge of the sheet, and they're all feeding at the same time, and that's why sometimes you'll see this linear row of bites.
I actually wrote a poem about bed bugs. Would you like to hear it?
If it's quick.
Mr. Bedbug, malevolent one, not happy with a solitary bite. You're the vampire of the insect world with an avaricious appetite. Slowing machine lines across one's thighs, reminiscent of battles of the night. Fought in the black, surreptitious attack. I tell you, you ain't no delight.
Gary, thank you very much.
That's really cute now. But you should put Mr. and Mrs. Bedbug. They're males and females both doing this to you.
All right. Craig, are you there?
I'm here.
Go ahead.
So my question is, could they be starved or put like a mattress in a plastic bag and then gassed with carbon dioxide or something?
I've heard that they can go a whole year without eating. Is that true?
That's true. They can. They essentially shut down whenever a food source isn't available, and so they can live for a year to a year and a half, and that's why when you have a mattress encasement, you need to leave it in place for a year to a year and a half, because some of the bugs that are dormant inside that encasement can come out and start feeding when you take it off. Now, there are whole house fumigations, very expensive, but a fumigation will kill the bed bugs. That's different than a bug bomb. A bug bomb should never, ever be used against bed bugs.
Can you give us a website where we can go for better for additional information? We're out of time here.
Okay, CentralOhioBedBugs.org. is a website that we have here in Franklin County on Columbus. Okay. Has a lot of pictures.
Great. Now, tell us what you did when you found the bed bugs in the hotel.
Well,
you ran for it?
You need to go get a different room.
Thank you. Thank you for the time, Doctor. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you all for tuning in.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.